Good morning, Texas. Here we are. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance, not the severity, not the fear, not the gospels of Jesus taught to the Jews, not the everlasting gospels taught in the tribulation. Not the everlasting gospel taught in the tribulation, but Paul's gospel taught during the dispensation of grace, Romans to Philemon. You know, it isn't just what we do that is important as a sincere Christian. It is also how we do what we do as Christians. It isn't just a list of goods and bads. It's how we go about what we do as a Christian. Knowing that the risen Savior tells us to follow Paul as our wise master builder, and that we should take heed in how we buildeth thereupon, as it says, then let us look to Paul's manner of life as our material to build thereupon. Does that not make sense? Paul is called our wise master builder, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that we should take heed, we should pay attention, we should look to him and follow him as he follows Christ. And when he mentions Christ, he's saying the risen Savior. So, I'm not trying to get us to imitate Paul's life. That's what the modern Bible say. I don't want to imitate Paul, and I don't want to imitate Christ. That's what the modern Bible say. I don't want to imitate God. That's what the modern Bible say. But I do want to try to follow what Paul teaches. And Paul is my ensample, not my example, because I'm not trying to imitate him. But he's my ensample. I'm trying to look to him for my guidance. This particular study that we're going to talk about today is taken from 24 sermons that I started preaching on June 5th in the year 2011. Each sermon has written notes, of course, but I would suggest that you listen to these this morning, and you can go to this particular set of notes. It's called scatteredchristians.org/2012/mannerlifestudy.html, and these are listed without the scriptures. If you really want to take upon yourself a good study, and you're young enough to take the time, and you're free enough to have the time to do so, go to that site, mannerlifestudy.html. Go through this outline that I've given you, and find the scriptures in Paul's books to see these. Or just go to the archive picture, click on that, go down to the year 2011, and you can find all the notes for each sermon that deals with these points. And you'll see what I mean here. When you go see this page. Jesus Christ is the judge, no doubt. But what he will use for his judging manual will be what Paul taught. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. And that's Paul speaking. When you study Paul in the King James Bible, and your life does tend to change, again, it's because of the goodness of God, not because of the fear and the severity, etc., etc. That was to the Jews. Your life will change. You'll suffer persecution, I can guarantee you that, but your life will still change. You'll have a peace. You'll have a joy. Now listen, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, for they themselves show of us, here's your testimony, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. That's Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, all these guys. And how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You're not worshiping an unknown God like they do in Acts. You have turned to God from idols. You've turned to God from your worldly ways. And you're serving the living and true God. Are you worshiping the living and true God like they say in the churches today? No, you're serving him. There's a big difference there. People can get a hold of that. Now, this phrase, manner of life, Paul uses this phrase, manner of life. It's his way of living. It isn't just his doctrine. Paul, again, was our example. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, but thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And we have learned them from Paul, who learned them from the risen Savior Christ Jesus. So, with what Paul says here, do you know his doctrine? Do you know his purpose? We've been through the purposes of Paul's ministry and Paul. We've been through his doctrines. We've talked about the faith of Jesus Christ that Paul has. His faith gave Paul the faith of Jesus Christ. He does for us as well. Paul was very long-suffering, a lot of charity, very patient, but he also had persecutions and afflictions. But he was delivered out of all of them. And yet he says, if you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, living godly is not what churches teach as godliness today. We've talked about that. Living godly is pleasing God through Paul's teachings in your life. Yet we know that we will suffer persecution before it, and there are people out there, seducers, and they shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we're going to try to continue in these things because we've learned them from Paul, and we know Paul is to be our apostle, our only apostle. So what I have here is I've got what I call a guide. Having gone through all of Paul's books a number of times, we see here that this is how we can live Paul's manner of life, which I call living the risen life. This is living the risen life as we are concerned ourselves with other people. That's one of our challenges. What do we do for these folks? What do we do about these folks? What do we do with these folks that we live with, that we work with, that we are around every day with what we have learned and the joy and the peace and the understanding that we have, the awareness, knowing what's going on in this world is not what they think it is. We have this hope that they don't have. What do we do in these cases? That's part of Paul's manner of life. Now, if you want to study Paul's manner of life, his daily manner of life, what to do, what not to do, what pleases God and what doesn't please God, I could do sermons upon sermons upon sermons, but listen, folks, you don't need me to do that. You get a King James Bible, you concentrate on Paul's writings. Those are the things that please God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, listen to this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You don't need me, folks. What you need to do, whether it be my website family asking me to teach more about what we should do as a Christian, or people out there that are new into this, you don't need to find a preacher. You don't need to find a guy on YouTube. You don't need to find a website. Because in the process of looking for the right guy, you're going to fill your brain full of poison. You're going to waste tons of hours and days looking for somebody when all you have to do is read your King James Bible. Read Paul's books, understand rightly dividing, even how to rightly divide the books of Corinthians, how to just look to Paul as your apostle. And in the King James Bible, none of that is hard to understand. You will understand, you will learn some of the things you're doing in your day-to-day life, they're not pleasing to God. Some of the things you are doing might actually be pleasing to God. Your music, what you wear, where you go, do you or do you not go to work? How do you do your children? Do you get married? Do you not get married? Do you get a divorce? Do you not get a divorce? All these questions that people ask, what does God want me to do? Read your Bible. Open it up. Turn off the TV. Turn off your phones. Turn off your games, your computer, and just sit back with your Bible. And yes, God will show you things, but he will show you things as you read your Bible. And don't just read through it once. You can read through all of Paul's books in just a matter of a few days. You could probably read through Paul's books in one day if you were a good reader and you just had the time to do it. And if you're going to read Acts, you start with chapter 9. And keep in mind that Paul's ministry started off with Jews, then Jews and Gentiles together, then Gentiles. If you keep that in mind, that'll help in any confusion you might come up with. And then realize that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is a King James Bible. and anything that was done from God, the tongues, the prophecy, the knowledge that was given to these people before this Bible came along, now is done because we have a Bible, King James Bible. You understand those three things right there, and you can learn very quickly how to please God. Should you stay in the church you're in? Should you stay with the pastor that you've got? Do you need to change your life drastically? If you hurt so many people with your teachings that you can't unteach it? There are so many things to deal with here. All you need to do, let me say it again, is to read your King James Bible, right to divide that thing, and you'll know when God is speaking to you, and you'll know when God is speaking about things in the past and in the future. If you want the present, you look to Paul as your apostle. Now, with that said, I am going to specify down here, down to a little outline here, what is it that we do concerning other people? What I call the manner of life guide concerning others, as we all continue to learn to follow the risen Savior. So, here we go. Let me check my numbers at the end of this thing here. I've got 24. There's 24 sermons, 24 points to make here. If you want to get them, you can find them on the website. That's where everything I've talked about has come from. It's all there. So here's what we do. Every one of these points I'm going to make have a scripture behind them. There's not a single thing I'm going to say here that I couldn't put a scripture to. But I'm not going to put the scriptures to them over the radio. I'm just going to mention the words, read through the outline, hoping that that will make sense to you. And then if you want to dig deeper, it's all there on the website. We start with number one, discover. Discover for yourself. Discover for yourself, and from a King James Bible. Discover. Instead of following others in your religion, from Baptist to Catholic, Presbyterian to Lutheran, Buddha to Ruckman, discover Paul. Discover the risen Savior. Discover about your music. Discover about names. Discover about your heroes. Discover the truth about Greek. Discover the truth and the dangers of Pal Talk, YouTube, all this stuff. Discover your King James Bible. Number two, decide. Decide for yourself. But eventually, decide for others, as you will be their testimony. Are you a man pleaser, or do you please God? From where will you get your directions? Which Bible, and why? Which set of directions, Great Commission, or Paul's Greater Commission? Who or what are you going to follow? Paul, Jesus, earthly Jesus to the Jews, the 12 apostles, John, Moses, Peter? Decide which of Jesus are you looking for. You want the one earthly to the Jews, or do you want the risen Jesus who fulfilled the law? Which apostle do you want to follow? John, Peter, James, Jude, or Paul? What's your purpose? Why? Whose faith will you live by, yours or by Jesus' faith? That's in Galatians. Are you sincere or silly? Are you sneaky? To whom and to what will you cleave? Will you be ashamed of Jesus? Will you be ashamed of the risen Savior? Will you be ashamed of Paul? What about your church? Decide. What kind of pastor? What kind of so-called worship? What kind of people? Whose ways will be taught? Number three, depart. In spite of other people, other friends, depart. Number four, despise religion. Number five, destroy the magnificence of religion. Number six, pray for others. Number seven, you'll have tears because of others. You need to have, number eight, grace toward others. Number nine, truth to others. Keep in mind, I forgot to tell you this, that these are all done in order as you grow as a Christian. Grace always comes before truth. When Christ mentions grace and truth, when Paul mentions grace and truth, it's always grace and truth. If you have nothing but grace towards other people, they will never hear truth. If you have nothing but truth to people, they'll never hear it because you have no grace. And you will have tears for people. You pray for people. You destroy the magnificence of religion. You despise religion. You depart. You decide. And you discover. Those are given to you backwards. Now, let's keep going here. Truth. Number 9 was truth. Remember, these people you're talking to, they still love darkness instead of truth. They change the truth into a lie. Their pastors are instructors of the foolish. They're teachers of babes. These people will hinder you who do not obey the truth. They are destitute of the truth. They are proud. They know nothing. They are corrupt and reprobate concerning the faith. They will never get it. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They resist the truth. They will not endure sound doctrine. They turn away their ears from the truth. They try to follow Jewish fables and commandments of men, which do nothing but turn people from the truth. But you still need to have truth towards other people. Just remember those things. Number 10. These are what I call untouchablenesses. Untouchablenesses towards others. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, humbleness of mind, long-suffering, forbearance towards others. Those are the nesses. Number 11, we need to have mercy towards others. Number 12, we need to have patience with others. 13, honesty. Number 14, charity. But remember, two things about charity. It's supposed to be for the brethren only, and it's not over or instead of the scriptures. Charity must be done truthfully, and it must be done toward the brethren only. Number 15, we are to walk as a Christian in the light of life. We are children of light. We are light in the Lord if we are following the risen Jesus. We are to walk in that faith of Abraham. We are to walk in the newness of life. We are to walk in the Spirit in good works. We are to walk in love as Christ defines, describes, and walks according to Paul and is taught by Paul. We are to walk in peace from God, with God, of God, and toward others as well as yourself. We are not, number 16, we are not to walk in temples made with hands. We are not to walk in the oldness of the letter. Even Paul's stuff is not the new law. We are not to walk in the flesh, meaning that we must still be saved. We're still inside our bodies, but we're cut away from it. We are to not walk thinking that we really know who is saved and who isn't. We don't know that. We are not to walk the dirty walk. We are not to walk the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We are not to walk rejoicing in iniquity. We are not to walk in vain. That was Paul's labor. That's Paul's fear. We are not to walk in vain with our labor. We are not to walk in despair. We're troubled, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we shouldn't walk in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. And yes, we are cast down, but we are not destroyed. We are not to walk in knowledge only. We are not to walk not rejoicing in another. We are not to walk in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. And we are not to walk with Paul's entrance into us in vain. Paul should be giving us hope. Number 17, we are to put on the armor of light. And that's the King James Bible. We are to put on incorruption. We are to put on the risen Christ. We are to put on the righteousness of the new man. It's his righteousness that's imputed to us. We are to put on his armor. We are to put on the new man renewed in knowledge from a King James Bible. We are to put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Number 18, we are to put off the belief that the local church is holy ground today. We are to put off the former conversation, the old man. We are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouths. We are to put off the old man with his deeds, and we are to put off the works of darkness. Number 19, we are to speak to others. We need to tell them. Number 20, we are to admonish others. Number 21, we are to reprove others. And eventually it comes time, number 22, we are to rebuke others. 23, we are to learn how to answer and how not to answer the questions that are asked to us. Number 24, we're to make our move, M-O-V-E. And here's what we should be doing when we make our move. We are to avoid those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to Paul's teachings. We are to avoid those that ask foolish and unlearned questions. All they do is gender strife. We are to avoid those who push genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. We are to withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after Paul's teachings. We are to withdraw from those who teach otherwise. That's how to be a Christian at work. Those who consent not to wholesome words of Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness through Paul. We are to not strive with who? With those who are against all these things that we're taught. There's no point in striving with people. We're to not strive with people. We are to not strive with those who teach words to no profit because they subvert the hearers. We are to not strive as servants of the Lord. Bible says the folks, the people, the listeners, they oppose themselves. They can't really even help it. He also says, and we're making our move here, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. If we're going to make our move, we are to purge the old leaven. We're to purge from our life the vessels of wood and earth and those to dishonor. We are to reject a heretic after the first and second admonition. We move on. We are to reject, but remember, everyone that does wrong doesn't need to be rejected, judged, or put at naught. Timing is very important. Know when to purge. Know when to reject. Know when to admonish, when to reprove, when to rebuke. Know how to answer. Make your move, avoid, withdraw from such, neither give heed, purge, reject, but do it all with wisdom. Keep on moving. Be not partakers of the table of devils. Be not partakers of the power that pastors think they have over people. Be not partakers among the saints who are fornicators, that are unclean, covetous, filthiness, foolish talkers, jesting which are not convenient, whoremongers, unclean people, covetous men, idolater as children of disobedience. We are to mark the bad guys, them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned through Paul. We are also to mark the good guys that we will have for an ensample. We are to note those people that do not obey Paul's epistles. We are to have no company with any man that does not obey our word by Paul's writings, that they may be ashamed, not us. We are to put away from ourselves that wicked person. Who's that? That's a brother that is a fornicator, who is covetous, an extortioner, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard. We are to put away from ourselves childish people. They speak as a child. They understand as a child. They think as a child. They're tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, because they lie in wait to deceive. We're to cast off the works of darkness. What does this world do for entertainment? Cast that off. It's a work of darkness. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but actually we're supposed to reprove them. And the last point here Number 25, I guess you should say 25 good things, not 24, but 25. This is the last thing you can do. You've tried everything. You've tried everything with your kids, with your family, with your friends, and this is hard. You have to deliver them to Satan. He is a god of this world. When people let somebody go to this world, you're not turning them over to God so God will get them, so God will deal with them. You're turning them over to the god of this world, and you're turning them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and to learn not to blaspheme. It says in Corinthians 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Timothy, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. If people reject Christ long enough, and they reject the King James Bible long enough, and they reject rightly dividing long enough, they're actually rejecting the risen Savior long enough, they're rejecting you eventually. You've done all these things that are listed on this outline of mine. The last thing you got to do is let them go. Let them go to the world. Just know that God isn't the one that's going to work on them. It's the devil. And God says, let them go into Satan. Let them learn their lessons the hard way. They may learn not to blaspheme, and their flesh will be destroyed. If they choose to get back right on track, it's because of your life, it's because of your testimony, and it's because of what you've said, it's because of your tears, because of your love, your concern, your truth, your grace. It's because you've despised religion, you've destroyed the magnificence of it, you've been kind, you've had lowliness, you've been meek, you've been humble, you've had long-suffering and forbearance, you've had mercy, you've been patient, you've been honest with people. You as a Christian have walked in the right way, you've walked not in the wrong ways. You've put on what you're supposed to put on, you've put off what you've put off. You are still supposed to speak to others, and if possible, admonish them, reprove, and if necessary, if they'll take it, rebuke. Learn how to answer, not answer people. And then you have to have made your move. You've avoided those that you're supposed to avoid. You've withdrawn from who you're supposed to withdraw from. You're not striving. You're not giving heed to certain people. You've purged. You've rejected. You're not partaking. You've marked both sides of the war. You've made note, certain people. You've put away from yourself certain people, certain things. You've done your best to cast off the works of darkness. You're not having fellowship with them. You've done all you can do. Then you have to let them go to the world. And let the devil have them, and maybe they'll learn their lessons, and they'll come back to the truth. They'll come back to a King James Bible someday, rightly divide that thing, looking to Paul and the risen Savior, hoping, of course, it isn't the tribulation. And then if they do get to the tribulation, they will suddenly know what they have to do, and that's find one of those rare King James Bibles, and know how to read that thing, and that's Hebrews to Jude, and the Gospels. Then they'll know what they have to do to still be with God someday. More tomorrow.